This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
Well, my name is Daniela. I have 19 years old and I have trichotillomania and trichophagia. Trichotillomania is an impulse control disorder characterized by the compulsive urge to pull out hair. And the trichophagia involves the ingesting to pull out hair. So my story begins when my godmother finds a hairball in the floor of her car. And she obviously worried. She told me like, "Oh, this is yours?" And I tell like, "Yes." It was something like so easy to say yes. And that was with the trichotillomania. And with trichophagia was start, well, my suffering started in February 2021 when I started having vomit, diarrhea, and my parents took me to the emergency room. And the doctors told them that I have a trichophagia or a ball of hair. And I know that. It's not a secret that I have that because I always been too curious or too, I like to investigate about my condition always. And when I knew about this, large and confusing word, I know that it was my thing. It was my condition, and I have to know more about that. So when I go to the hospital, I told the doctors I have what I have. I have a bowl of hair in my stomach. I pull my hair out and I eat it. And they're like, "Okay. Okay, if you're sure, that's gonna be it. That's it." It was okay. It was a little difficult to me because I was 1 week, all week in the hospital. And my mom was a beautiful experience to look at my mother's face when I told the doctors I did my hair out, because she knew that I pulled my hair out, but now I'm eating it. So she was like, "You don't tell me that. I know you pull your hair out, but you're not eating that. You're lying. Like, it's not possible." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's it's not possible. They have a lot of options, but this is possible." And yeah, that's a little summary of my experience with my BRP.
You said you were in the hospital for 1 week. You had to get surgery to take it out?
Yeah. Now I have a scar in all my belly. And when I first noticed my scar, was very difficult to me because I was always have been like the skinny girl to have the perfect body. So when I see that scar, and I have never had a surgery, so it was difficult for me to see a lot of change on my body. And also my doctor say to me, "I can't do a beautiful scar because I took a lot of your stomach." So it's like this. It was like this. I have a picture of that. So I can't do a beautiful scar. Is save your life or do a beautiful score. What you decide. It was like, okay, save my life. So it was, I named her Lola. I call her a name. But my sister, it was like initiation, or I don't know how to say it. But yeah, it was, I have a big scar now, but I like it now. It's gonna be a, it was a process to accept my new body and my new friend in my body.
After the surgery, did you change the way that you have the ritual with trichotillomania? So did you try to stop eating it? And if so, how did that go?
Well, I stopped like completely, like it was brainwashed my brain. It was so rare because when I tried to stop myself after my surgery, I can't. It was, I can't stop. I can't stop eating my hair. And my mom told me, why you can't stop? It's like, you only don't do it. But I'm like, it's not possible. I can't stop. But when I get back to my home and when that long week over in the hospital, I stopped like completely. And it was very happy to me to stop because it's not as desirable to eat in my hair. It's not something I like. And I suffer a lot of when I try to eat it because it's like a uncomfortable sensation in my throat. And I think about it and it's like, how can I eat in my hair a lot of these years with that uncomfortable sensation of like a spoon grasping my throat? So yeah, that's it. And it was very happy to me to stop because it's not something I like to desire to someone else.
Do you pull your hair from any other parts of your body besides your scalp?
No, I think that it was a process. The first thing it's the principal area, this part of my hair. So I tried to remove my eyebrows or my eyelashes, but I'm so sensitive that from that area that I'm trying, like, okay, I'm going to cry if I pull my hair out of this area. So it was like always my hair, my scalp. And it stinks. I think it's of this part when the hair, the middle of the hair. And that's it, it's not other area. I know, and of other persons too, I know to have trichotillomania to pull off their hair of other areas, but it's not my case.
When did you find out that there was a name for the behavior you were doing?
Well, I think I have this story, right? I write the story in my computer. I have reading this. I remember being in my dad's computer, searching on Google. This is where you pull out your hair. And yeah, well, this pop Wikipedia. And I was 10 years old. It was easy information. And I got this word that was very long and very difficult to pronounce. And so I started reading and taking advantage of this new information that internet was giving me. I don't think it was the big information, but it was the principle I need to know when I was 10 years old. And I mentioned it to my parents, and they were just like, don't believe everything you see on the internet. It doesn't exist. So from the beginning, I didn't have any support from my parents about this. So yeah, first with trichotillomania and the trichophagia, I've never told my parents about that, but I told them when I go to the hospital. So,
You mentioned that you knew other people with trichotillomania. Was this in your community, like in real life, or did you meet them online?
don't know if you knew about this. How to say it in English? This TV show, they called My Strain Addiction episode to a beautiful girl who have trichotillomania. And when I see them, when I see her, I told, it's like in my head, it was like, oh, there's more than me. It's not only me. So it was like so shocking. But I think now, like an adult, that it's not an addiction. It's a condition. I feel pain of her because she was looking so upset with this thing. And the TV show producers or writers, they put out themselves like a crazy little girl to pull her hair in a strange condition. And I feel like rare because I don't know if I have. Well, when I was 10 years old, I didn't know they exist, groups or BRP. So this example of a BRP, and it was like, oh, you're guilty, or you're rare, you have a strange addiction, because they are compared with strange with addiction with makeup or with death, like it was so rare. And I feel like, okay, I'm so rare. I'm so, it's only me and her. It's not other more people. But yeah, I think that was my first example of that.
Has your hair pulling ever made you feel like you couldn't do something, like you had to avoid going to parties or activities?
Yeah, when I don't know how to say it in English, but it's not like don't be in parties or don't assist to parties. But when I comb my hair or to make different styles of my hair, it's very difficult because I have parts of my hair that it's bald. And some parts of my hair also are more short than others. So it's difficult to style my hair because I don't have a lot of hair. And I think that is. And I'm not like a lot of party assistant. I'm not like, oh my God, party, I'm gonna go. I'm not like that. I'm like just home and being with my parents and my sister, my older sister. So it was for me like styling my hair to a party is it's a faithful request, a task. So yeah.
Are some areas that you would find triggering? For example, I pull a lot when I'm in the car or if I'm in my room. Where do you pull the most?
I think when I am calm, I think it's very difficult to say because when I'm in calm, it's more to when I pull my hair out. When I'm here in the work, my work is like in my house. So it's a grocery store. So when I'm here, I'm just like, I'm alone. And I start to search the perfect hair to comb. And you know what I mean. So that's when I feel like more, I want to pull my hair out, want to pull my hair out. And when I read or when I see a TV show or see a movie or I'm with my friends, and always my friends like to take my hands and grab it like that. Or kissing him like that. And my boyfriend do that too, and that's so cute.
A lot of people with trichotillomania, they get scared to tell their boyfriend, their girlfriend. What advice would you give to someone who wants to share?
I think that remember that every step you take is an incredible achievement. And be kind to ourselves. Because as recovery, it's not a linear journey. And we have the strength and courage Trevorcon, any example. And they're not alone. And there will be always be someone to support you and trust you and your ability to heal. I think that will be a device.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today. When you told your friends and your boyfriend, had any of them heard of trichotillomania before?
No. When I started studying, I'm studying psychology, a career. When I started to be so open, I always be open about my trichotillomania, but when I started the university, a lot of my teachers, they didn't know about trichotillomania, and they were psychologists. So I feel like, okay, I was feeling again strange or rare, so I think like, okay, I'm not going to feel that way. I'm going to be open, and I dedicate a lot of my work and my assignments after the tournament. So I feel so honored to be like a voice of that little girl of me.
What are some of your favorite ways to manage your hair pulling?
I like listening to music. I think it was a thing too. It's fun. So I think music is, it's like God to me when I have to pull my hair out. It's a pleasure to listen to music. So I really like to dance too. I also read a lot and reads like novels or And also, I read something like psychology and trichotillomania things to know more about me. Because if I didn't know about my condition, I want to know who. So yeah, I think that dance, music, read, and coloring books. I'd love to do that. It's like so relaxing and more when I am work.
What advice would you give parents who have children with trichotillomania or other BFRBs?
Don't judge the kids, please. They are suffering too. I know, like a parent, you're suffering because you don't know how to help your child, but the kids are suffering too, a lot. And the children needs love and all your support. And I always listen about my parents took this situation with me. And I think I don't want to my cousins or my nephews or a little boy I know. I don't want that kid suffer. They need support and love.
What do you wish people knew about BFRBs who don't have a BFRB?
I know it's difficult to understand, and not a lot of people have empathy from other conditions because we a lot of focus of with depression and anxiety and stress, and it's always is important too, because like BFRB. We suffering that too, because I'm suffering depression and I'm suffering anxiety. But I know it's difficult to understand, but if you understand depression and anxiety and stress, you can understand the BRP, like trichotillomania, the trichophagia like me.
If you had to pick a song that related to your trichotillomania, what song would it be and why?
I didn't think about that. I didn't have a song like represent my trichotillomania, but it represents that moment in the hospital when I that all week It was "I Will Survive." I think that song.
During your journey with trichotillomania, did you ever seek help from a professional?
I think I have therapy, and I take medications, and I'm progressed a lot. I was like in the floor when I go back home from the hospital, and to the second visit with my therapy, the therapist, I have well, 100% progressive. So I feel so happy about that, that I can be more like calm and have a normal life, because I always try to stop of myself, like for myself, my self-courage. But I know, and I learn, I no need to be alone. I have my parents, I have my sister, I have my therapist. He's amazing. And my friends, my boyfriend now. So yeah, I think I'm very lucky of having them.
Do you like when your support system tells you that you're doing it? So, for example, if you're doing it, they say, "Oh, hey, Daniela, stop," or they grab your hand. Is that something that you find helpful?
Yes, it's fine, and I find helpful. But when my parents do it, I feel like guilty, because they do it in that tone, like, "You're doing stuff, Daniela." That specific tone irritates me a lot, and I feel so guilty. And my brain remembers that feels of "I'm strange, I'm rare," and I feel like so like this when I listen about that tone, and that, like, "You're doing it, stop." And I'm saying like that. When my friends do it, it's a different tone. Like, "It's okay, don't worry about it. It's fine. I know you're taking a lot of stress, or the assignment that you do the last night, it was very hard. I know you're stressed, but it's gonna be okay." But when my parents do, it's like, "You're doing again. You need to stop." It's like the hurt them tone is like, "You need to stop." Like, total, like, "You need to stop right now." But when my friends do it, and when my therapists do it, it's like, "I know you can stop, but you need to stop, because it's going to be good for you." So yeah, that's the difference about the tone and the words they say to me.
Have you had moments in your journey where you noticed, "Hey, I'm not pulling that much"?
When I was little, trichotillomania was gone for a long time, but trichotillomania always found his way back into my life. At first, it was a problem because I had a toxic relationship with trichotillomania. It was like this toxic boyfriend, and I knew it's not only me affected. I affect my family and my friends, and yeah, but it was like they gone, and it was like, "Hey, like that toxic ex, oh my God, again, you again, baby, you need to go." But he doesn't go. Well, it's not a he, but yeah.
Well, I like that you said he, because sometimes what people will do in the community is they will give their trichotillomania a name, right?
Yeah.
And make it like a boy or a girl. So if you were to give your trichotillomania a name, what name would you pick?
I think, well, when I think of name of my trichotillomania, when I was 7, 8 years old, Roberto, like this name of a man of soap, TV soap, like Mexican TV soap, like he was so toxic. And but now name is Adam. I think his name's Adam. He is the green flag now, I think. I hope so. I hope so.
I love that transition from him being a toxic ex-boyfriend into being a green flag. How did you get from one to another?
I think it was a process. Thinking about me after my surgery is like I was with Roberto, like this, not Roberto, Roberto, like with that tone, with big letters like that. And I think it was so toxic to me to try to stop and try to relate my trichotillomania because it's not the way to progress. It's a process to accept. And when my scar, now with my scar and my therapy and my medications, now it's like Adam, like that green flag guy that I wanted. I have my boyfriend is a green flag, but it's like this novel boyfriend that's so kind, like right for a woman, like right for a woman, of woman like that. So yeah, it was a process, and it was more, I accept more that my condition and before my surgery with my scar, because it's not only my accept my body, it was accept my condition.
When you find yourself pulling, what do you say to yourself?
It's difficult to see a woman like it's working with a process to accept, and because when I pull my hair out, sometimes I feel guilty because oh my God, I'm like again, really again, because I was having like 5 minutes without pulling or 1 week without pulling, and I feel like, oh my God, this is so shame of me. I feel so ashamed because I was very well, but I see to my mirror. I don't have a mirror here, but it's an example that I'm a woman too. I'm support a lot of stress in my life, but I'm working on it. And I'm try all day, all night, all the month, all the year to control and being calm and have my therapy and take medications, have better relationship with that, with the trichotillomania, with Adam, that I try. I'm a woman, I'm try a lot.
What would you say to listeners right now? Maybe a piece of advice or some words of wisdom?
When I was little, I don't have anyone who inspires me to be so open with my condition. But I think I have gained that courage to be here and speak in another language about my story. And I know some people, they don't have that okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk about that. And I'm not going to say, you need to talk about that because it's a process. It's not my process, it's yours. So I don't have anyone to inspire me when I was little. I don't have anyone to inspire me like, okay, you need to be brave. I see stories about depression, anxiety, or violence that is them story, I know. But I don't have like example of courage with mine with a same story like me. But now that I'm here and I speak and told my story, I feel that it's something that 8-year-old Daniela will never have believe it. And I think I'm that girl that I wanted to be example for other girls or other boys or other people. I'm not a person to be an example. I'm not famous or something like that. I'm just only a person to have that I have trichotillomania and I'm try a lot to being calm and have a better relationship with my BRFP.